Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration this morning that's going to frame much of the discussion about the concept of being the child of God. But our text is Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This new year we're entering into here is looked at in different ways, again, by the world and God's people. At least it should be. We see here, and when we approach and come to the temple of the Lord, and we worship here every Sunday or whenever the doors are open for holy services of worship, we come in and we hear a prescribed liturgy. We're Lutherans, we follow much of the tradition going all the way back to the times of the apostles. Because at the core, as we say in our creed, we're Lutheran in our expression, having come out of the Reformation, but we never abandoned or stopped being Catholic. We are Catholic, which means universal. There's only one church, one faith, one hope. And so we follow that prescribed liturgy as we come down through the year. And there we go through the textual readings, and much of our liturgy is right out of the text, pulled right out for our benefit. And what it does rehearse for us is, for example, in the opening of our text, we say, if we say that we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Every time we come to that liturgy, the first thing we do is do a self-examination. The Holy Spirit, through those are the very words taken right out of the first epistle of John. They are the active word of God that's sharper than a two-edged sword, that divides both bone and marrow, soul and spirit, is a discerner of the heart and the thoughts of the heart. And so every time we come, we really are doing that self-examination. It goes on all year long. The world likes to try to examine itself in the light of a new year. Okay, what did we do wrong in the past, and how can we make it right and do it better this year? And usually it's all about getting rid of things that they actually have no power in their life to deal with, mostly. That's why New Year's resolution, from a worldly perspective, fail. Because they fail, it's not that they don't see the moral good in which they should do, but according to the scriptures, that the letter of the law, which they're trying to do, eat less, exercise more, be a wiser investor, whatever it may be. All of a sudden, they see the goodness of that particular event, but they do not find the power to perform it. Our text really deals with that concept and why that is true, and why the Christian life should be a victorious life. So let's look at our text again, what it says about in this particular. It talks about the coming of the Christ and what the effect of that coming is on our lives. For he says, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Why does he say that? He says that he came in fulfillment, born of a woman. Fulfillment of the Genesis 3:15 promise. To redeem those who were under the law. When did they, mankind, become a bondservant to the law? And under the law, the oppressive power of thou shalt not at Adam's fall. And all of his progeny thereafter was under that curse because Adam broke that law and Lucifer now took his dominion. The law was given in order to show how sinful Adam and his race are now, truly are. But Jesus came, born of the woman in fulfillment of the promises of Genesis 3:15, to redeem those under the law because they could not redeem themselves by the law. Once broken, always broken. And it says that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, those who believe the gospel, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, by which we cry, Abba, Father. That is one of the most precious terms in the New Testament today, Abba, Father. It's not just father of the family. Abba, it's an intimate connection with our daddy. But the interesting thing about it is that Paul, writing here and being a fantastic scribe and a Pharisee, he knew the word of God. And he was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And in this expression, Abba, really at its core, it comes from the Hebrew. It means the same thing as father. Really, the text is saying father, father. But it's saying both in the Hebrew to the Jews and also father in the Greek to the Gentiles. His work is inclusive of both, making both the children in an intimate relationship to the Father. What a fantastic thing. And because the precious blood of Christ cleansed us from all sin, He paid in that redemption. He redeemed us from under the law. What was that price for the redemption? The precious blood of Christ. That's what redeemed us. He bought us back. And because the blood was applied to each one of you by faith in the completed work in the person of Christ, because that blood was applied, it made you holy. It sanctified you in your relationship to the Father. And because that work was so perfect in making us holy, not by works that we could accomplish, but solely by the grace of God, He sent His Spirit into our hearts. And what was the accomplishment of that Spirit coming in? Not only do we acknowledge and have a relationship now with the Father, but listen to what the Galatian text tells us. Therefore, because that Spirit was given to us, that blood was applied, that Spirit was put within us, therefore you are no longer a slave but a son. And if a son, an heir of God, through Christ, you're no longer a slave. You see, that's exactly what the New Year's resolution, why it's so weak in the world today. Why? Because everyone born of natural flesh, before they come to the new birth in Christ, are a slave to law. Oh, they see the goodness again of the law at times. But Paul in Romans chapter 7 says, there is no power within the fallen flesh to keep the law. Every time we see it, the law then only accuses us and condemns us because we haven't kept it. And thus, the futility of New Year's resolutions apart from God. It's an exercise, really an exercise in futility. But what does the text tell us about us as Christians who believe the gospel, who've been filled with that Spirit of God? Well, that's exactly what our liturgy tries to lead us into again every time we come in here. That's why I really love preaching about our liturgy, about the lectionary readings, as it takes us through salvation history every year. And how our lectionary and our liturgy is taken right out of Scripture itself. It's the Word of God given to you every week to be able to make a resolution, to reform ourselves. Even though we've been filled with the Spirit of God, the flesh is weak, brothers and sisters. And so part of the liturgy that we have in here, in fact, we go, I'm going to put a new heart in. You're going to be my people, right? I'm going to take that stony heart, because that represents the law written on stone that can have no effect on human life. And we come to our liturgy. Paul in the 2 Corinthians, in the 6th chapter at the end of it, tells us about this. Because he goes, he says, now that you have been redeemed, he says, you need to go about a life that is not yoked with the unbelieving world. We are to come out from the world and separate ourselves. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Again, let's deal with that concept. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. As a Christian, we shouldn't marry one, an unbeliever. What's the difference between the unbelieving world and the Christian? Well, he tells us here. First of all, the Christian is righteous, not a self-righteousness, not a righteousness that we've gained by living a good life or being a religious people. No, it's by the precious blood of Christ and faith in that promise of redemption that's in Christ. That's what makes us righteous. And God says, you're clean because I applied the blood to you and I filled you with my Spirit. And God says to even the unbelieving world that mocks at that, what I have called clean, don't you call unclean. We are clean. We are the righteous in God. Again, solely by his grace through faith. The unbelieving world, God calls us righteous. He calls them lawless. Again, why are they lawless? They don't have the power to keep the law. They are lawless by the very fallen nature of Adam. They are lawless at the core. Paul says, and what communion has light with darkness? Again, we, the children of God, are children of light, not children of darkness. The world is the children of darkness, and they are under the ruler of the children of disobedience, the children of lawlessness. Paul asks, what does Christ have to do with Baal? Oh, by the way, Baal worship is on the increase in our country worldwide, not only in America, but around the world. Or what does a believer have to do with an unbeliever? And he says, what agreement? Now here, because God cleansed us with the blood, even as he sanctified the temple, the first tabernacle, by the sprinkling of blood and the filling of the Shekinah glory in that temple, he says, and what agreement does the temple of God have to do with idols? Here's an important point. This is who you are in the world. You are the temple of God. Paul says, for you are the temple of the living God, as it has said. Now he describes that temple of God. It's drawing us right back into our liturgy today. What does it say? He quotes, I will dwell with them and I will walk among them. And they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you. Abba, Father. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then Paul says this right after that construction, which leads us again, look at all the terms that we're seeing in our liturgy that we're reminded to make resolution weekly. And why is that? If God's done this great work in us, why should we have to take heart and examine these things weekly? Well, because again, we are. He has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But we still have this sinful flesh that battles against us. But Paul goes on to say here in this text, he says, therefore, remember, I've talked about this much. When you see it in the text, and he says, therefore, ask ourselves what it's there for. He says, therefore, because all these promises of God are true for us, what he's done for us and how he's made us in him, he says, beloved, because these are true, let us cleanse ourselves. Now let's say that again. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Our liturgy every week, the word of God that is presented to us every week, it really convicts us. It tells us exactly, shows us who we really are, and tells us, don't despise what God has done in you. Don't despise those promises that God has laid before you. As Paul says, I press towards that mark. Not that I've been perfected in this world, but I press towards that mark, to the high calling that we have in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I beat this body in this world, lest I have preached to others and myself becomes disqualified. No, the promises that we have, that Christ, born in the fullness of time, born under the law, to keep it perfectly on our behalf, born in fulfillment of the promise to come through the woman, to redeem us by his precious blood, to make us a precious temple of his Holy Spirit, where God can go through this world and speak to others that do not know Christ nor the Father, and say to them, the Father has redeemed you through the Son. Come to the Son. Be reconciled to the Father who loves you, because the day of his salvation is here. Amen.